It is Thursday, April 18th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas. KUAF is supported by contributing listeners and by Malco Theaters and their fan page on Facebook. Fans receive direct movie information to their email inbox. On the web at facebook.com/Malco Theaters to join.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, local reaction to proposed immigration reform in Washington, a preview of what our jazz man Robert Ginsberg calls the jazz event of the year here, and celebrating Earth Day with kids and ukuleles.
But first, 250,000 low-income Arkansans stand to gain private health insurance with federal money, intended for Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act, after legislators passed both funding appropriations and reworded framework bills for the plan last night.
By a vote of 28 yay, 7 nay, the bill is passed. Send to engrossing.
The key vote came in the Senate with the passing of the plan's funding bill, which needed a 75% majority in both houses. Following the vote, lawmakers reapproved two identical bills laying out the plan. Governor Mike Beebe said it's an example of bipartisanship that will benefit the state.
It's a victory for the people of Arkansas, for the businesses of Arkansas, for hospitals in Arkansas. It's taking something that most Arkansans would never have approved and making it better.
The plan now awaits approval from Washington. Supporters say it will reform a problematic entitlement while providing health insurance for the state's poor and shielding small businesses from fees associated with the Affordable Care Act.
The 2014 race for Arkansas governor now has two Republicans and two Democrats after former Congressman Mike Ross, a Democrat from Prescott, made it official yesterday, announcing his candidacy with a statewide tour. At his final stop of the day on the steps of the Capitol in Little Rock, he championed the progress made by Governor Mike Beebe, also a Democrat, saying that he will work hard for the economy and education.
When I'm elected, you will have a governor that will work day and night to provide educational opportunities and to be this state's biggest economic ambassador, because I believe in the future of Arkansas and I believe in its people.
Mike Ross had ruled out a run for governor after retiring from Congress last year. He reconsidered after Attorney General Dustin McDaniel's departure from the race following an admission of an extramarital affair. Former United States Representative Asa Hutchinson and Little Rock businessman Curtis Coleman are seeking the Republican nomination. Former Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter is also seeking the Democratic nomination.
Arkansas senior U.S. Senator Mark Pryor says he still needs to review a new immigration proposal before deciding how to vote. The bipartisan plan, crafted by 8 senators, includes increased border security measures and a decade-long process to grant citizenship to 12 million undocumented immigrants. Pryor says there are key goals that must be a part of any plan he could support.
We need to enforce the law we have on the books, we need to strengthen our borders, and we need to implement the employee verification of the SAVE Act. I think we need to do that economy-wide. I've had a bill to do that here for the last few years, and we've not been able to get any traction because it would have to be part of a larger immigration deal.
Senator John Bozeman says the immigration proposal before lawmakers is about 800 pages, and his team is looking through it.
Whatever plan you come up with, if you don't secure the border, if you don't make it such that people that come over here on visas actually leave after their visas expired, then you'll be in the same position that we're in now. So be looking at border security, looking at what their plan is as far as holding employers accountable.
The bipartisan immigration plan is also supposed to streamline the visa process for temporary worker programs and clear the entire backlog of family-based visa applicants within 10 years.
As a final hearing is being planned for today on the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, activists who point to the recent oil spill in Mayflower are making a final push to stop the Trans-Canada pipeline. Susan Connolly is a resident of Marshall, Michigan, where nearly 3 years ago a pipeline burst and polluted the Kalamazoo River. She says oil spills will happen and will deeply affect the well-being of residents who live near the pipelines.
It just happened 3 weeks ago in Mayflower, Arkansas, and we see a mirror image of what occurred to us in Michigan. We must look at the pipeline operators, but also our federal and state legislatures to be there for the people.
Proponents of the Keystone XL pipeline argue that risk assessments have determined that its potential environmental impact will be minimal. Among its supporters, 2nd District Congressman Tim Griffin, who Tuesday joined 16 other lawmakers in sponsoring the Northern Route Approval Act, which supports further implementation of the pipeline.
Bike Bentonville is pushing for a new routine in the work week. Kyla Templeton is with the organization. She says that the group wants to increase cycling awareness in the city, which is why the group wants Bentonville cyclists to start regularly riding their bikes on Fridays.
Kids bike to school and parents bike to school and then to work and then to lunch from their work if they have a bike sharing program at work. But we're working on Bentonville Bike Fridays so that more people and the more bikes we have on the roads, the safer it is for the bikes that are on the roads because drivers become more aware of them.
For more information about the group or four times of coordinated group rides, visit Bike Bentonville's website, bikebentonville.com.
Cloudy and cooler tonight. Lows around 31 in northwest Arkansas, mid to upper 30s for the Arkansas River Valley. Sunshine returns tomorrow. Highs from 54 to 60. Tomorrow night, mostly clear. Lows around 30 in northwest Arkansas, about 37 tomorrow night in the Arkansas River Valley. This is Ozarks at Large.
This bill is not perfect. It's a tough bill, but we are optimistic that we are closer than ever to making history.
The mood was one of cautious optimism yesterday in Springdale as several groups met reporters to discuss federal legislation unveiled yesterday, legislation designed to reform the country's immigration policy. Those opening comments from Mireya Reith, the executive director of Arkansas United Community Coalition, an immigrants advocacy group, were shared by the others who spoke yesterday. The bill, written by a bipartisan collection of U.S. senators, nicknamed the Gang of Eight, was formally filed yesterday and contains more than 800 pages. Elizabeth Young, an immigration lawyer and director of the Immigration Clinic at the University of Arkansas, says the proposal from the eight senators is a major overhaul of the entire immigration code for the country.
There are four main aspects to the bill. It includes border security, addressing the 11.5 million individuals without a current status, interior enforcement, which also includes employment provisions, and reforms to both the permanent and temporary visa issuance process.
The bill would allow many of the estimated 11.5 million undocumented immigrants a path, a lengthy one with several stipulations, to eventual citizenship. After the formal statements were made yesterday, Elizabeth Young discussed the proposal and some of the rules required for current undocumented residents to approach citizenship. While that path may take more than a dozen years, the legislation would allow people security in knowing they would not be deported in the interim.
You can work, you can travel. Anything that a typical lawful permanent resident or green card holders, most people call them, can do, these individuals will be able to do. Obviously, they're going to be sort of under a microscope, and they have a couple of additional things that they will have to do. They have to learn English, they have to learn civics and different things like that, and obviously pay fines, but in essence, they are almost the same as green card holders.
How many people can this affect? How many people can get on a path to citizenship that couldn't before?
Well, it's estimated there are 11.5 million undocumented immigrants in the United States. Now, I don't think that the full number of those individuals would be eligible. Obviously, there are bars to this. Individuals who have any type of serious criminal history, and by serious criminal history, we're not just saying people that have huge felonies. Under the Immigration and Nationality Code, the way a crime is defined, some things that we may consider minor are actually pretty major. So I think that that would probably bar several of those individuals. But, I mean, I would hope that the majority of those individuals would be eligible.
You mentioned the different provisions during the press conference. These are interlocking. One has to go for the other to go?
Yes, it's all one big bill. And I think that's one of the key things that the Gang of Eight is trying to push forward is to indicate that all of these pieces work together. So when it goes for amendment, when it goes for debate, the hope is to keep every single piece in place. If you take one piece out, it's basically all going to fall down. We have a broken immigration system, and in order to fix the entire thing, all aspects of it have to be passed. You can't just pass one aspect. You have to do them all.
This is just a proposal. This is legislation at this point. Has to pass the House, has to pass the Senate. I know you're a lawyer, not a politician. Any sort of idea what kind of scrutiny, what kind of amending it might go through?
A lot. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot from both sides. People on both sides, I think, are probably going to be upset and they're going to want things changed. You know, on the left side, one of the main things that didn't get included was the same-sex partners aren't included in this. And I think that was a huge aspect that people were pushing for. On the other side, I think people are going to say that it's too generous, that allows too many waivers for past misdeeds, crossing undocumented. So I think there's just going to be, I can't even imagine how many different iterations it will go through before it finally is passed.
Good afternoon. My name is Ana Aguayo.
Ana Aguayo was at yesterday's event representing the Northwest Arkansas Workers Justice Center. She says the proposed immigration reform could help millions of immigrant workers participating in an underground economy.
Right now, workers have very little protection when it comes, and very little fast remedies when it comes to owed wages and exploitation. And that's why I was also sharing my concern in terms of the guest worker visas. It's making sure that there are worker protections that go across the board. Because even when people immigrate into the United States legally through these guest worker visas, we find the employers, especially in the agriculture community, that confiscate the paperwork of these workers, take advantage that they don't know the language or that they don't know the labor law system. And once they work them and the season's over, they'll just call immigration and deport them. And immigration won't know that they're actually here as guest workers legally because the employer has their confiscated documents.
The bipartisan bill has received endorsements from both sides of the aisle in Washington, but there are detractors. And the route from introduced legislation to actual law is still, of course, uncertain. Ana Aguayo says in the interim, education will be important because she says there can be attempts to fleece immigrants from their money.
Education about what the language entails, primarily because we look around the community and how there's people who would like to take advantage just with the concept of misspreading information. Oh, the bill has already passed, especially for people that may not follow the news thoroughly. We've had people in the community who claim to be attorneys and are not attorneys and say that they file paperwork, end up ripping people off for thousands of dollars, and ultimately these people are victims of a scam. And that's something we want to avoid.
The legislation has received criticism in the first hour since being unveiled. House members like Lamar Smith of Texas have called the bill a non-starter and legislation that doesn't do enough to secure the border. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama says the bill is filled with flaws and loopholes. Yesterday's press event in Springdale was held at a restaurant, Acambaro, owned by a family with members facing possible deportation. Elizabeth Young with the University of Arkansas's Immigration Clinic says the legislation may take time to eventually become law, if at all, and during that time, some undocumented residents could be vulnerable.
There are other programs that are in place right now that are kind of being applied. We have prosecutorial discretion, which was announced 2 years ago. So individuals who don't pose a threat to the United States, haven't committed past crimes, if they're in deportation proceedings, the prosecution is supposed to be open to administratively closing those, which is essentially kind of stopping those but still keeping them on the books. In addition, there's the deferred action for childhood arrivals, which was passed last year, well, not passed, but instituted last year, which is for the so-called DREAM Act kids, and that prevents deportation for them as well.
The legislation is expected to be discussed by the Senate Judiciary Committee beginning Friday.
The next fresh air, Sebastian Younger talks about his HBO documentary on war photographer Tim Hetherington. They collaborated on the documentary Restrepo about an American military outpost in Afghanistan. After they attended the Oscars in 2011 as nominees for their film, Hetherington went to Libya where he was killed by mortar shrapnel. Join us.
Fresh Air with Terry Gross tonight, beginning at 6 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Okay, here are our first notes. Ready? One, two, ready, sing.
Clean up the earth till it shines like new. Clean up the earth till it shines like new. Clean up the earth till it shines like new. That's what we'll do, my darlings.
Cans on the highway, someone threw.
The singing club at Leverett Elementary in Fayetteville, led by Bernice Hembry of Threepenny Acre, practices a special version of Skip to My Lou. It's in preparation for an Earth Day concert on Earth Day, Monday, April 22nd. Festivities will be held at the Global Campus on the Fayetteville Square that evening and are organized by the Omni Center. Donna Sterna, with the Omni Center, says this year's celebration is a bit different from those held in years past.
So we've done things down in the Rose Garden in conjunction with Springfest a lot, and so those were family-oriented, but everybody-oriented. But this one is kind of a family affair. We're encouraging families and everybody just to come out and be part of this.
Toucan Jam, a popular local children's show, along with Papa Rap and Emily Cates and Friends, will also perform. But the highlight is the children. And, of course, Mother Earth.
I think Earth Day, and Omni thinks is peace, justice, and ecology is part of Omni's threefold thing. And taking care of our Earth, I think, is one of the biggest priorities right now. And I think that children love to be part of that. And Earth Day is one of the holidays that needs to be celebrated.
Children from 10 area schools have come together through their art classes to write over 1,000 letters to President Obama about why every day should be Earth Day. The letters will be on display Monday night.
And everyone was one of a kind and different, from everything from Save the Wolves with pictures of wolves to I Love the Moon and we need moonlight. Just really charming. I hope everybody comes out and sees this exhibit. It's going to be really special.
Liliana Gomez is a fifth grade member of the singing club. She says art class has been her main source for Earth Day education.
Well, right now, we're learning about the westward expansion, not much about Earth Day, but in art, we are a lot. We wrote a letter to the president saying that we should make Earth Day every day. And we draw a picture.
Yeah.
Give it to him.
Why is that important?
Because if people keep throwing trash on the ground, we can kill the environment and we can lose our Earth quicker than we know it.
Liliana has fun in singing club and says it's like a family when they sing together. Scout, a younger boy, is a member too. He likes to sing in the car with his sister and to recycle.
We just like taking songs from TV shows and shows and singing them again, like in our own words.
So you like to make up your own words about things?
Yeah.
What about recycling and stuff? Is that something that you do at home?
Yeah, we recycle a lot. Like, we recycle, like, everything we can. And we don't really, we throw away, like stuff we can't recycle, like, other things.
Are you excited to sing on Earth Day?
Yes.
The singing club will be joined on Earth Day by the Ukulele Club for a special version of This Land Is Your Land. Omni Center's Concert for the Earth on Earth Day, Monday, April 22nd, is from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Global Campus on the Fayetteville Square. It will feature the Leverett Elementary Singing and Ukulele Clubs. This event is free for kids, $5 for adults. Everyone is welcome. This is Ozarks at Large.
All around the countryside, that little creature sneezes till it makes them weak, they cannot hide. Smog from the diesel.
It is Thursday, April 18th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
We are joined by Becca Martin Brown. She's features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
What's Monday? April 22nd?
Earth Day.
Good job. They have recovered from the fundraiser, folks, and their brains are back.
Yes.
And so we have a rundown of some Earth Day events.
Okay.
Earth Day Fest is a fundraiser for the Good Shepherd Humane Society in Eureka Springs and the Green World Reforestation Project. It includes bands like Brick Fields and Ozark Waba. I never say that. Why? Say that for me.
I'd have to. Do you have it written down?
Ozarkwaba is what it is.
Ozarkwaba.
Thank you.
Ozarkwaba.
Right? I think so.
13 Moons, handmade goods for sale, a bounce house, workshops on how to help your planet. And this happens from 10 to 5, mm-hmm. April 19th through April 22nd at Laughing Mountain Visionary Healing Center in Huntsville.
Okay.
Tickets are $15 daily. There's camping available, and you can find out more at laughingmountainearthfest.com. It's Earth Day on the 21st, which would be Sunday, at World Peace Wetland Prairie in Fayetteville.
Right.
They will have music and children's activities and all sorts of fun. And you can find out more at theomnicenter.org. There's an Omni Earth Concert and Art Show that includes pictures and letters from area school children that will be sent off to the president to encourage him to make Earth a priority. This happens from 6 to 8 o'clock on Monday at the Global Campus on the Fayetteville Square.
Right.
And admission to the concert is $5 for adults and free for kids. And a week-long Eureka Earth Festival starts on Monday with a ceremony seeking peace with a Mayan peace shaman.
Okay.
And this will happen at the retreat at Sky Ridge Resort west of Eureka Springs. And you can find out more about that at EurekaEarthFestival.com.
Plenty to do.
Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Sports leagues have all-star games, those rare chances to see the best players on the same field or court. Consider the upcoming concert from the Monterey Jazz Festival Orchestra at Walton Arts Center this weekend in the same vein. Robert Ginsberg, host of KUAF's weekend program Shades of Jazz, recently talked to the director of the ensemble, Christian McBride.
The Monterey Jazz Festival has a reputation for doing things right. 55 years of presenting the best musicians in the best settings. So when the festival assembles an all-star band for a tour commemorating their 55th anniversary, it's going to be a good one. And if you're lucky enough to have the tour come to your town, well, you'd better pay attention. Tickets are still available for the jazz event of the year, which will take place on Saturday, April 20th at the Walton Arts Center. I spoke to bassist and musical director with the band, Christian McBride, last week about the music, the musicians, and the tour. What's really apparent about your career, Christian, is the spectrum of amazing groups and people that you have performed, toured, and recorded with. And I could go on for the rest of this interview, but I want to name a few: Freddie Hubbard, Joe Henderson, McCoy Tyner, Herbie Hancock, Diana Krall, but also people like Kathleen Battle and Sting and Carly Simon, James Brown. How does the Monterey Jazz Festival Tour Band stand up against all the other amazing projects that you've been a part of?
Well, I wouldn't consciously try to stand them up against any other group I've played with, because that wouldn't be fair to anybody, because all of these groups I've ever played in have been really great. You know, there have been some groups I've played in that never went on the road or never recorded with that were pretty killer. You know, so we'll just say it's definitely one of the best ones.
The Monterey Jazz 55 Tour Band includes the legendary vocalist Dee Dee Bridgewater, saxophonist Chris Potter, trumpeter Ambrose Akinmusari, two of your longtime compadres, drummer Lewis Nash and Benny Green, and with you as the bassist and the musical director. And I know you've had an ongoing musical relationship with Lewis and Benny in particular, appearing on no less than, what, five CDs with him over the years, of his CDs, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how did this Monterey Jazz 55 Tour Band come about?
Tim Jackson, who's the artistic director of the Monterey Jazz Festival, he's been a good friend for many years, and he's one of the people in the business who everyone seems to unanimously love. You know, he's a really good guy. He cares about the music. He cares about the people who make the music, you know. And so he came to me, I guess, maybe a year and a half ago and asked if I would be interested in fronting the new band that he was envisioning to put out on tour. And when he told me who he had in mind, you know, who's going to turn that down?
Were some of these people that are in the band with you now more or less new acquaintances for you, or in terms of being on the bandstand with them?
Other than Ambrose, no. Ambrose is the rookie of the group, so we're all getting to know him. We certainly know him now because we've been on the road since January with this group. But Dee Dee and Chris and Benny and Lewis, you know, we've all worked together individually with each other, you know, for 20-plus years. So that's old family blood right there.
That's some history. You're right. And, you know, as you mentioned this, I realize this really is a transgenerational band with several members born in the 50s, 60s. You were in the early 70s, Ambrose in the 80s. Do you think that maybe this is in some way a testimony to the staying power of great music and particularly of jazz?
Yeah, I think this needs to happen. You know, I think there's been a very consistent way of thinking about marketing jazz that I think needs to change drastically. You know, I think even as fans, we've been subconsciously taught that the future of jazz is always in danger. No jazz will ever be any better than it was in the 40s and 50s. Any young guy that comes on the scene is just a poor copy of their hero. And we have to somehow break the mold of thinking that jazz is subconsciously something that's no longer alive. You know, like everything is a tribute band. That's why with this particular band, as musical director, I didn't want this to get into a thing where we played too many standards, you know, because we have a lot of living legends in this band, as far as I'm concerned. So why shouldn't their music be heard? You know, why shouldn't we play some of Chris Potter's music? You know, why shouldn't we play some of Benny Green's music? So, yes, we will give fans some recognizable standards that they know and love. But, yeah, we, you know, we're going to mix it up, and we're going to hear Ambrose bring his new, fresh ideas to the band. And Dee Dee, of course, he's just she's a force of nature. So the whole cross-generational thing, you know, having a woman in the band, having racially mixed band, it needs to be that all the time, you know.
What have the challenges been for you as musical director of this group? I mean, there's got to be some pretty strong personalities floating around in there. Do you guys get along on and off the bandstand as well?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. No ego trips in this band. No strange idiosyncrasies. You know, it's just it's just been one happy tour, you know, and I really mean that. You know, everybody's great. The only challenge I've had is trying to figure out how to, because I like to keep the set, do different things within the set, you know, instead of playing just, you know, featuring everybody on every song, you know, I like to break it up a little bit. We'll play one song with a quintet, one song with a trio, one song with a quartet, you know, we'll have Dee Dee kind of mix it up. We play a duet. Sometimes she'll sing a duet with Benny. So, you know, we have all of these wonderful things going on inside of the band. My only challenge is to figure out how to get them all in one night. So
choreographing,
you know, there might be some nights where Ambrose doesn't get a trumpet feature, or Chris Potter doesn't get a saxophone feature, or, you know, but Benny Green does, and Dee Dee does, and Lewis does. You know, more often than not, I really do write myself out of the script, because, you know, it was the sweetest thing, man. We played a gig somewhere and I can't remember where it was, but anyway, I didn't realize this, but throughout the entire night, I'd only taken one solo, and so I got all of these really disappointing tweets and emails from these people who were at the show, like these bass players. They were like, yo, what's up, man? You only took one solo. You played like 10 songs, and there were no bass solos. What's up with that? I just, because, you know, I figure with all that power up on stage, you know, sometimes a bass solo can be pretty anticlimactic, you know, when you got Lewis Nash and Dee Dee and Chris Potter up there. I'm thinking, man, nobody wants to hear no bass solo after all that, you know. So, yeah, that's been my only challenge, is trying to figure out how to get all of these different things in only a 90-minute show.
Well, those are the kind of challenges that we want in life, I would say. That was Christian McBride, musical director and bassist with the Monterey Jazz Festival on Tour 55th Anniversary Celebration. They will perform an assortment of jazz classics and original compositions by band members when they appear this Saturday at the Walton Arts Center. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Robert Ginsberg.
Robert Ginsberg is the host of Shades of Jazz each Friday and Saturday night on KUAF at 10. You can hear much more from his conversation with Christian McBride on tomorrow night's edition of Shades of Jazz.
Theater Squared concludes its seventh season with Next to Normal, now through May 12th at Walton Arts Center's Nadine Baum Studio. This emotional musical focuses on a family trying to take care of themselves and each other. Tickets and more information for Next to Normal are available at theater2.org. or 443-5600. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle.
Back in the day, women had their hair done by hairdressers at the beauty parlor, and men went to the barber. Today, highly trained and licensed salon stylists cater to both men and women. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich, who really needed a haircut, decided to subject her locks to a student at a local beauty college to learn more about how they learn their trade.
This is not just any beauty college. This is Paul Mitchell, the school. And this morning, 20 so-called future professionals looking very chic, dressed head to toe in black, warm up. The students scatter to their stations to set up for the day. Some will work on guests by appointment, although walk-ins are welcome. Others, less experienced, practice on mannequins. Everyone's continually monitored by more than a dozen licensed teachers and staff. Director Angie Hoskins says this non-traditional school has operated here for 4 years and conforms curriculum to each student's abilities.
When the students first start, we call them our future professionals. When they first start, they actually go through a little questionnaire to show us how they best learn. Do they learn verbally? Do they learn by visually? Do they learn by doing? Do they need a little music in the background? Do they need that math logic brain where everything's in a sequential order? Once we figure out how they do that, then our lesson plans or our classroom is actually directed to hit every one of those multiple intelligence so that we keep all of our future professionals engaged.
Tiffany Barnett is admissions leader for this school.
Our total tuition is $16,650. That includes your admissions fee, your kit. That is the bottom line. We don't have any hidden costs or fees. And that includes your 1,500 hours to obtain your CA license.
CA license stands for Cosmetology All, hair, skin, and nails. A majority of future professionals are aged 18 to 21, and like any educational institute, financial aid is available in-house, says Director Angie Hoskins.
We offer scholarships to incoming seniors, high school graduates. There's also, Northwest Arkansas is amazing with their single mother scholarship. And we actually can receive that. We actually have several that have done it. We also are a Title IV funded school, which that means is if you qualify, the government does have financial aid for you within Pell Grants, subsidized and unsubsidized loans. So, you know, it makes the 16 a little bit more reasonable or attainable. You know, like Tiffany said, we're very different than other schools, but if you look at the other schools around the area, we're actually very comparable in price.
Admissions leader Tiffany Barnett.
Something that's really great about our school is that we do create so many different opportunities. We actually teach a class called The Tree of Opportunities, and that shows them the 52 different career paths that we offer. People sometimes don't realize the options that are available.
Future professionals learn design, cutting, coloring, multicultural techniques, makeup, fashion trends, and the art of hairdressing in a three-phase program.
Within our culture, we believe in creating well-rounded stylist. So they're not only going to have the knowledge to cut, color, chemically alter hair, makeup, but we also just teach them, we teach business classes. We have a new program we're introducing about financial responsibility.
Students also build resumes, conduct mock interviews, research networking opportunities, and work on self-image.
The full course is 1,500 hours. The state of Arkansas requires that many hours to obtain your CA license. So it depends on each individual. It's roughly 10 to 11 months for a full-time student and about 18 to 19 months for a part-time student.
Most graduates end up in traditional salons, either renting a chair in an existing business or launching their own studio. Some may venture into product sales, fashion, or work as a stylist in feature films and television. In 2012, all of the company's schools achieved a 70% placement rate within the industry, Angie Hoskins said. The brand Paul Mitchell was established in 1980 by Scotsman hairstylist Cyril Thompson Mitchell, now deceased, and his partner John Paul DeGioia, the iconic ponytailed American billionaire and philanthropist. 100 Paul Mitchell advanced education schools based out of Provo, Utah, operate across the country and all market John Paul Mitchell Systems product line based in Beverly Hills, California. This school is located in Fayetteville's Northside Shopping District, just west of the mall, attracting students from all over the state, including Leah Conrad from Stuttgart. She's been chosen to be my stylist. We start with a concept,
a good trim,
then a wash. The most relaxing wash ever. So why has Leah chosen this career?
Because of the culture part of it. And I like to make people feel good. And this is, there are other educational stuff that you can do to make people's day a little bit better, but I like the hands-on aspect and I like the science that it goes into and I like the that it's always evolving and there's always something new.
We got to chatting, which is custom at the salon. Ever since she was little, Leah's wanted to be a hairdresser. Her mom encouraged her to attend the U of A first, however, where she studied journalism, then switched to fashion design. But soon she chose to enroll at Paul Mitchell, the school, in the fall of 2012. By August, Leah will be ready to take a state licensing test. She plans to move to Little Rock to pursue her career.
I have some aunts that live in Little Rock, and they've been generous enough to invite me to live with them just to help out my family a little bit, kind of save some money until I get on my feet. And then I hope to, in about 2 years, buy me a house in Little Rock and kind of get my life started and help support my family a little bit more since they supported me through all this. It's all about my family for me.
So the cost for a wash, trim, and style using Paul Mitchell products is an incredible deal, says director Angie Hoskins.
So our haircuts are $12 and $16. We offer a very valuable discount.
$8 for men, but be warned, you are at a school.
So the one thing that you're sacrificing is your time. Our future professionals are a little bit slower than a licensed stylist, and that's just because they're learning, it's in the learning process, and they're still in school. So that's why we offer a service at a valued price, is to compensate you for your time.
And mistakes will be made, although they are referred to as discoveries.
You know what? We've never had anybody walk out and say, I'm never returning. We've never had any catastrophes as far as anything detrimental to, in our discovery family. But that's why we have learning leaders. That's why they're supervised. We give them the confidence. This is one of the most important things in our company, is that our future professionals come first.
Graduation at Paul Mitchell, the school, must be a sight with everyone completely styled. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
We've posted a photo of stylist Leah Conrad and newly trimmed producer Jacqueline Froelich on our news website. And for details about classes, visit paulmitchell.edu and search for Fayetteville.
There is an opportunity to hear a world premiere tomorrow night at 7:30 on the University of Arkansas campus. The UA Jazz Ensemble will play the ballad Missing You, composed for them by Greg Yazininski, a saxophonist and educator at Washington State University. The performance is part of the UA Jazz Ensemble's spring concert tomorrow night. Yazininski will also be here and play with the ensemble. Yesterday, I reached him at his home in Pullman, Washington, and asked him about the process of writing a commissioned work.
Yeah, I've never really had much writer's block, and then I have to wonder, maybe I don't have enough of a filter. Maybe I'm not. I'll joke with people. You know, it's no trouble writing music if your standards are very low. You can just crank it out. But I don't think that's the case. But there's some people really struggle in their heads over, well, do I use this note? Do I use that note? Well, I'm not sure I like that chord. But, you know, they can take them really a long time to get it. I'm one of these people who's been able to develop a certain kind of facility. I can do it fairly quickly. Although when I say that, I mean, there's so many little things involved with it. It's not so much the coming up with the musical part of it, but actually getting it on paper so that other people can understand it. There's a lot of steps to that, and it's a very meticulous, kind of very detail-oriented process that takes quite a long time, you know, lots of hours. Mm-hmm. And I would say to people, well, you know, I can do that in just a couple of days, but what they don't know about me is that I become obsessed about it, and then I stay up for days and spend every waking moment thinking about this thing. So the first thing that started is that Jim Greeson got a hold of me and said, hey, I'd really like to have you. Now, I got to see if I can remember which way this went. It was either he wanted me to come and play with the band, or he wanted me to write something for the band. I'm not going to remember which one it was now at this point. Maybe he remembers. And then we started talking, and I said, well, if I'm going to write something for the band, maybe I should come out, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he went, oh, well, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do that. Or it was the other way around, you know, that, oh, if you're coming out, maybe I ought to write something specially for the band. Oh, well, that sounds like a good idea, you know, was that sort of thing. And then there's a little back and forth, and then I have a bunch of, pieces I have to write, or I should say get to write, you know, for different occasions. And so we hadn't really talked about what it was going to be. But my own feeling is I want it to be what Jim would like, you know. So does he want something that's like, you know, Latin jazz, or something that's a hard swinging piece, or something that's super fast, or, you know? And also what I want to find out from him is, you know, what's your band like?
Composer and musician Professor Greg Yazaninsky from Washington State University talking about the world premiere of his ballad, Missing You, that will be played tomorrow night at 7:30 by the University of Arkansas Jazz Ensemble. The concert takes place tomorrow night at the University of Arkansas's Union Theater. There is no admission charge. The concert is open to the public. You'll also hear original music from Jim Greeson, plus music from Count Basie. This is Ozarks at Large. It is April 18th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellum.
I'm Christina Thomas.
With us, Jody Beznoska, who is Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center.
Hi.
Hello. Had some rain this morning.
Oh, of course we did.
I did not want to get out of bed.
No, it
Man,
did not.
It's
rain
the
morning.
Refrain. We just keep saying this. At some point, we're going to say we had some sun this morning,
yeah.
Right?
I think for the next few days.
I hope so.
We'll say that.
Yeah. Well, let's see how to chase away the blues if you're blue from the rain and all the various other news these days. Well, you could come and see a show. Tonight, okay. You could come and see the preview performance of Next to Normal with Theater Squared.
That's right.
That's in the Nadine Baum Studios. It's a 7:30 show that kicks off, I think it's a 3-week run of that musical.
Goes into mid-May.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 4 weeks then. So that's tonight. Then tomorrow, very busy evening tomorrow, another show of Next to Normal. Caravan Sarai will be performing will be featuring the Orchestra of Fez at the Walton Arts
Center. That's a 10x10 show. Most tickets, $10.
That's correct. That is an 8 p.m. show. And then Little Big Town will be out at the Amp. That's been a really popular show, especially since they won lots of awards at the American Country Music Awards. Don't think there's that many tickets left for Little Big Town, but I know there are some. So you can still get those if you want them.
It shouldn't be raining tomorrow night either.
No.
I don't think
right.
so.
It's
yeah.
going to be a little bit cooler, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't mm-hmm. be raining.
Shouldn't be raining. So hopefully the field will dry out and we'll have a really good show. It's our first Amp show of the season, so we're looking forward to it. two shows of Next to Normal on Saturday, and then the Monterey Jazz Festival on tour Saturday evening at Walton Arts Center.
Christian McBride on the show earlier today.
Yay. 8 o'clock performance. Then we take a couple of days off, and our next show at Walton Arts Center is American Idiot. That runs on the 26th, 27th, and 28th. Four shows over the course of that time. That's a Broadway musical, but I would say it's not your grandpa's Broadway musical.
No.
Rock.
Anything Goes might be your grandfather's musical.
Yeah.
This is not.
This is not. This is a current, this is a very recent musical that that went up, I think, just 2 or 3 years ago. It features the music of Green Day. It's based on the album. It's only 90 minutes. There's no intermission. And it's really, I think it's going to be a kind of a combination concert Broadway show, which, as far as I'm concerned, sounds like fun. So that's the 26th through the 28th, four performances. And that takes us through pretty much the end of April. The University of Arkansas has all kinds of music concerts going on during this month, too, so you should check those out. And then let's get into May just a little bit. It's time to talk Artisphere.
I do know, speaking of tickets, you mentioned that Little Big Town, not many tickets left. I know that for the Three Penny Acre, Gregory Isaacoff, as of last evening, there were like 11.
Yeah, that
you had
one,
a specific number. There were 11.
Yeah, that one is selling really fast. I believe that is the May 7th.
At Cooper Chapel in Bella Vista.
At Cooper Chapel in Bella Vista. Yeah, there's not many tickets left for that one. So
I have mine.
I mean it. Get them now.
If they're still, I mean, for all we know, they might be gone. So you want to check.
There is a show the previous night at Thorn Crown Chapel in Eureka Springs, which is equally gorgeous. And this will feature Jamie Stone. He's referred to as the Yo-Yo Ma of the banjo. So he is technically a banjo player, but he takes his influences from every kind of world music you could imagine. And his album and band, I believe, are called Room of Wonders.
Right.
And so they'll be playing at Thorn Crown Chapel, which will be a fantastic concert because I've never heard the banjo up there.
And nor that have
I. That should be really cool. So that's the 6th of May. Let's back up just a little bit and get to the first weekend of May, Friday, and the first weekend of Artisphere. On the 2nd, which is a Thursday, we'll open our new gallery exhibition. It's called Untamed. It features, I think, 6 different artists, and they're examining human-animal interactions. That opens on the 2nd. There is a reception, I believe it is from 5 to 7 p.m., open to the public. On the 3rd, which is Friday, we'll have Jack Hanna's Into the Wild. And Old Crow Medicine Show will be playing on the 4th of May. Three Penny will be opening for them as well, so lots of chances to hear Three Penny. Next Normal will be playing that day. We will have Foam Fest, we will have Spring Fest, and we will also have the Trail Mix Concert Tour. And the Trail Mix Concert Tour is a signature event of Artisphere, free to everybody who wants to show up. Bands along 2 sections of the trails in Northwest Arkansas, along the Frisco Trail in Fayetteville, and up at the Crystal Bridges Art Trails.
And Springfest is going on that day in Fayetteville, too. The Return of Springfest.
Exactly. So it'll be a busy day in Fayetteville. And then in Bentonville, we'll take the same musicians up there and do it from 3 to 5 p.m. up along the trails there. So we'll be out by different stops along the sculpture trails. So let's all cross our fingers for really good weather that day because there are a lot of outdoor activities happening that day. We all need to do the dance. Delbert McClinton will be on the 5th of May. That's a Sunday. And then just for parents out there, we have a really cute show coming on May 11th. It's called Boats. It's a
Boats, B-O-A-T-S.
Boats. Yes, B-O-A-T-S.
Okay.
And it is a puppet show for little kids. It will be in Star Theater. It's put on by a company out of Australia. And it's a very simple, beautiful story about two mariners who are friends and the journeys they go on together. So a really lovely little thing to introduce your kids to theater. So that's on the 11th. All kinds of things. I did want to also mention 2 shows that we just put on sale for later in the summer or in the spring. The Price is Right Live will be on May 16th. And then we also have a show on sale for the very last day of June. It is called Spank. And this show is a parody of the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy. So if you have read that trilogy, you know what I'm talking about. It's a musical, and it is poking merciless fun at those books. So,
do you keep track of concentric circles, people who buy tickets to the same shows? I'm wondering how many people will buy a ticket to Boats And a spank.
And a spank.
Yeah.
Hey, I bet there are quite a few women that buy tickets for boats.
Yeah.
I bet.
Okay. I just am always curious about that.
Yeah, you can't predict it. We try sometimes to figure out, you know, what shows
who to market to.
Yeah, what shows will cross over, and we generally can't get it right because everybody has different tastes.
Right. Did you know there was an Indonesian version of The Price is Right?
I didn't until today when you told me.
It's a global franchise.
Disclaimer about The Price is Right. Drew Carey will not be there.
It is not the TV show.
Bob Barker.
Nor Bill Cullen.
Right.
Somebody out there understood that reference.
Yep.
Jody Besnoska is Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center.
Vice President Al Gore and Melinda Gates try to make the world a better place. Erykah Badu tries to make it more funky. And Jeff Bridges just says, whoa. I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for a meeting of the minds on this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Saturday morning at 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. And support for KUAF comes from Westwood Gardens, offering a variety of Westwood-grown annuals, perennials, and hanging baskets, and now an online plant finder. This service matches the best-suited plants for gardens based on your input and criteria. More information is available at westwoodgardens.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Fort Smith, and Elkins.
Elkins, so noted because today we took some pizzas.
To the middle school.
Elkins Middle School. You may recall, if you heard, it was on last Thursday's show. Mm-hmm. It was the day after our very successful fundraiser. Again, thank you for supporting KUAF. We just opened up to everyone, you know what, we'll bring you lunch. We'll bring you some pizzas. And from the entries, we pulled out of the ceramic cow Rose McKinney's name, and she works at Elkins Middle School.
Right. They were very excited to see us.
Yeah, so we'll do that again in the fall. And it's open to just everyone, so we appreciate that. And when was the last time you'd been to Elkins?
Well, actually, when I dog sat for my friend, there's a doggy dude ranch out in Elkins, and
I had to
pick up the dogs.
Right.
And
Antoinette Grajeda will be with me tomorrow for a new edition of Daily Ozarks at Large. We'll be back together Sunday morning.
We will
for Sunday Ozarks at Large. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly busy weekend this weekend throughout Northwest Arkansas.
It is busy.
I mean, it starts with there's the stuff at the Regional Art Museum in Fort Smith tonight, and just. But you know what? We're going to hit a peak, I think, around the first weekend of May. May, the whole month of May will be as busy too. Perhaps not as consistently busy as April. But that first, have you looked at the first weekend of May?
There is a ton of stuff on May 4th. We were just talking about it yesterday. I mean,
a ton of things. We're about to begin, you know, the whole slew of arts events in Eureka Springs in May. So we will not be lacking material to talk about.
No.
All right. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks so much for listening.
Happy Thursday.